Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Cole Komet.
Last thing, do you have a nickname for you and Sanborn and Edwards and Kramer and Amagaje, right? The five of you are all like the Chicagoland Bears. Are you the Grabowskis? Are you the Outfit? I mean, like, you guys need a nickname, we think.
I'm trying to give them a new name, and the only thing I could come up with is Chi-Town Shutdown Mob.
Is that any different than the versions of the teams, you know, the 06 team before the two injuries, or...
Oh, did somebody come up with that before me?
I like the outfit. That sounds pretty cool.
Unlike New York, where the Gambinos and other families competed for control, the Chicago Outfit was ruled by one family and one godfather. Accardo's power was grounded in fear.
Maybe we'll go with that one. Speaks, you just came up with the nickname yourself, so I think you just can coin that yourself.
Shot him in the head, tortured a few, you know, the way it's usually done in the outfit.
No nickname as of right, no official one as of right now, but maybe we'll just stick with the outfit. That sounds good to me.
The outfit owns it. So you know how it is. You hit us. We hit you.
The outfit controls business, politics, police. It affects the lives of all of us.
Doug Kramer had a nice star turn in Sunday's game.
We threw this at Cole Komet yesterday. Do you have a nickname? How about The Outfit? The Outfit, or the Syndicate, or
the
something
shy
like that.
Guys.
Shy Guys, yeah. We got options.
Now it's good to have fun with names.
What do you like?
I'll let you guys, I'll defer to you guys on that one.
That's probably wise.
The largest criminal corporation in America, The Outfit.
The Bears.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We are glad that you are here with us. Buckle up, Buttercup. We got a day planned for you. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. That's Matt Spiegel.
What
I'm
up?
Lawrence Holmes.
Hey!
Here's what we got planned. We're going to turn the page. We're going to let go of the win and get ready for the next game against the Carolina Panthers. That will be at 3 o'clock. We'll also take you inside what's going on in the NFC North.
Yes, this is our Turn the Page combo platter segment, debuted last week. Very, very exciting. My Panthers research was, oof, man, they got a mess down there.
There's
a
mess.
Fans, you think you got problems.
They got a lot of problems, but the Red Rifle is coming back to town for his revenge tour.
It's true.
We'll do that. Patrick Manley will be on the show at 4 o'clock today. Mark Grody will be on at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Shane is here. Tanny's here. Spiegs is here. I'm here. We got you covered between now and 6 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, man, lots of stuff to get to. It's exciting what we're doing here on this show. And I got to say, our boy Danny Parkin's doing well on Breakfast Ball. Man, I texted him today. I'm enjoying his work. He's juggling a lot of things. Was texting with him a little today. I say, to the mob, our man is doing well and trying to figure out television on the fly, and I think he's doing a nice job. Meanwhile, you and me get to do this, which is just freaking awesome.
From everything I've seen with Parkins on that show, he's done really, really well.
That wasn't me. So I've been taking shots, and I realized, you know, I miss our guys. I was texting with him, and then somebody does a who cares for him. Was that? You'll never know. Was it Tanny or was it
somebody.
Shane?
Yeah.
Shane, it was you. You texted Tanny this morning to play that.
Yep.
And Mitch told you last night to text Tanny this morning to play that.
Who cares?
Fair enough. There is Bear stuff that we should probably get to immediately.
Thank God you're here, Lawrence.
And whether or not it was us kind of hinting at it on Monday, or Bears fans sitting around their house going, is everything okay with DJ and Caleb? Is that okay? Like, whether it was circulating inside of what people were saying on social media, or people going back to the last couple of games and being like, DJ sitting by himself when the offense is not on the field, and him, how he looks when he goes to the tunnel at halftime, is the best receiver on the team upset at his role?
Yeah, this has been circulating for a while in kind of a, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, or I'm not asking, but should we be asking kind of way? Like you mentioned, all the shots in the TV copy, different body languages. And what's weird about it is DJ directly when asked if he's the kind of wide receiver diva who asks for more targets during the Justin Fields era, he flat out said, that's just not me. That's not me. That's not what I do.
He said that as recently as 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so like it's not on our radar to think of DJ in this classic, like, give me the damn ball, Keyshawn, down to Chad, down to Jamar Chase, you know, down to A.J. Brown.
Davante
Adams, right. We don't think of DJ in that way. And he just got paid. So it's like, well, why would this be happening if it is happening? So Bears fans have been trying to kind of wrestle with it and wrap their heads around it.
Part of it, though, too, speaks to me is that I think whenever you see that, most of the time it comes from a positive place.
I think it is part and parcel of the modern NFL. I agree. As long as you're honest about who you are, if that's what it is, that's fine. It's just that it hasn't seemed to be DJ.
But you're right. It seems out of character from what we have observed. And it's not like this guy doesn't have a history of doing his best with the worst.
Yeah, oh my God. The Carolina quarterbacks that he produced with, right?
And even when the offense under Justin Fields wasn't going in the right direction, he was still very loyal, very, I'm going to do whatever I need to do. Here's how I feel about it. Now, I do want to let DJ speak for himself, but I look at some of the route options that are available for DJ Moore and go, they are asking him to be a rack machine.
Mm-hmm. Rack machine.
Just for you, Ray, that's what they're asking. They're asking him to be a rack machine, and I think he's tired of it. I think he's tired of the idea of, oh, so the only way that I'm going to be able to help this offense is if I am able to break tackles. The routes that are being asked of me, I'm supposed to break tackles and make those plays. And that should be part of anything that you design for DJ Moore because he's so damn good at it.
But he's a full-ass wide receiver, Lawrence.
100%.
100%. He's a full-ass wide receiver. And you know, there was the last thing I wanted to add to what you're saying, because I agree with you that that might be the source of it, and we'll hear from DJ today, is this tweet from Warren Sharp that made the rounds a little bit yesterday that showed some of the route trees for Jaxon Smith-Njigba in Seattle under Waldron and then after Waldron.
Now, you did some digging on this.
Yeah, and it showed DJ Moore last year under Getsy and DJ Moore now. It was, at first I tweeted it, and then I realized it is a cherry-picked sample.
It needs more context.
It needs way more context. And it was a cherry-picked sample made to look way worse than what it actually is in terms of the volume. But the route styles, to your point about the rack, the run after catch that's being asked of him, do indeed look bad on that sample.
So you may have seen some moments where you're going, man, DJ's body language looks really off. Are he and Caleb on the same page? Well, DJ addressed that, and I thought did it in a very honest way inside of his press conference today. Take a listen to what the Bears wide receiver had to say.
Oh, I mean, yeah, every quarterback wants the big play, but if it's not there or they can't see it, the check down is going to be open because everybody else is downfield. So, I mean, never go broke, taking a profit. That's what my coach say. So that's what we're living by, and, I mean, I get it.
Is the key to developing chemistry between you and Caleb just like a constant line of communication? Even he was saying, like, even after the play last week, there's frustration on both. It's something you say, all right, like, we're going to learn the more that we go through that, or are you someone that's like, this is what I want or this is how I need?
Yeah, we both was frustrated after that missed touchdown. He came over and we both talked about it, got on the same page right then and there. I mean, shouldn't be no more mishaps on like a ball like that going forward.
DJ, what did you see in that particular instance that made you take it back out?
It's a hole shot. So I was thinking he played outside. I had to go inside, wind back out, and then assess where the safety was. And he thought I was going to just run straight. And now we know we're going to go the Caleb way and we're going to get it right.
Are you the type of,
when you talk about getting on the same page, what does that entail here, you know, through the time that you're together?
Just growing through the reps. I mean, we never had a clouded rep like that and where the corner was trailing still. So it was pretty different. So it was, like I said, it was on me. Really wasn't knowing what he was thinking, but I was thinking one thing, like going back out, and I mean, we got it fixed now. So
Are you the type of receiver to say, like, this is how I want this ball thrown on these type of routes? Or are you just kind of like, when we get to that play, we trust the chemistry and the work that we've done?
Yeah, we just, I'm just the type to go out there and just trust it. We should have had a talk about that, but we didn't. It came up faster than expected, and we didn't connect on it.
DJ, as a veteran player, one who knows he's going to be here for a while, is it ever frustrating when it's essentially you've got a new quarterback learning a new system, all that kind of stuff that you have to be patient? Is it ever hard for you to be patient as a veteran player who's just ready to roll?
A little bit, and then it's not, because we was all rookies at one point being a vet. So I know what he's going through. You can't be too frustrated. I mean, you could be frustrated within the way you're playing, like as a player, but not at a young guy that's still coming along. So, yeah.
What was with the touchdown pass going back to that? When you see them match up a linebacker, what's going through your mind? This the laugh tells me already. What's going through your mind as a receiver? Like, is it just Caleb? You got to make this throw. I'm about to cook this guy.
First you got to know where you at in the reads. I probably was like second or third, but I knew it was going to have to get back to me because it was a linebacker. So I was like, if this thing don't get back this way, we might have some more discussions on the sideline. And it ended up getting back, so it was no discussion on the sideline. It was all happy vibes. Like, most of the time it is happy vibes. So I gave him the ball after that, so I was ecstatic for him.
DJ, do you just have to trust that he'll see that, or do you have something in your pocket where you can signal him?
No, you just got to trust that he see it. I think we all saw it when we was spread out wide, and it was just me and the linebacker right there. So I'm like, I hope we see this fast. But if it had played out any different, I hope we would have scored regardless, hopefully.
I think it's pretty honest, DJ Moore. Speaks, you reacted to something that you heard inside there. What did you react to?
Gonna go the Caleb way. When he says we're gonna go the Caleb way, and talking about that third down where DJ took it outside and Caleb thought he was gonna go straight in the future, they're gonna go the Caleb way. He brought up later that it's same play. We should have had a talk. It came up faster than expected, and here we are. It strikes me, Lawrence, as the natural growing pains of an NFL offense coming together. And I do not hear a diva at all. I hear a dude who wants to get it right. And when Jalen Johnson told us 2 weeks ago that some people have to check their ego, and Cole Kmet has said the same thing, I think Jalen and Cole have been very vocal, one on each side of the ball, talking about the need to do that. That doesn't mean inherently that somebody with an ego is some jackass. Somebody with an ego is a guy who got 1,000 yards in Carolina with Kyle Allen throwing him a ball, with Teddy Bridgewater, with Sam Darnold. 3 years in a row with those guys as the main quarterback. DJ Moore got 1,000 yards. And then Justin Fields. He knows what the hell he's doing. But you still have to do it the Caleb way, if that's the way that Caleb sees it, and your job is to make the quarterback comfortable.
Because eventually you're hoping that the light's going to click on for him so brightly that everyone's going to eat. Everyone's going to eat. And so you get that this is part of the development issue with the quarterback. I love what this texter says. 773 texter says, I see a difference between a diva receiver who wants more for themselves because they aren't a big enough part of a good offense. I read DJ as being upset that the offense isn't working, and part of the broken team is because DJ's not being used correctly.
I think that's great.
I think that's very fair. That's how I read it, too. I don't feel like this is a guy saying, I've got to get my numbers. I feel like this is a guy saying, hey, I can help us win.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. Like you say, you lay out his resume. I can help us win. Here's some ways that we can do that, but then also realizing that he's got a quarterback who's learning how to play at the NFL level.
And we've got multiple issues here. The not on the same page stuff with him and Caleb is real, and that takes DJ to adjust to. And even though you're a Pro Bowl wide receiver, he is admitting that. He's saying that we're going to do it the Caleb way, and that's the way we're going to do it. Okay, that's beautiful.
And now we know we're going to go the Caleb way, and we're going to get it right.
We're going to get it right. That's a beautiful thing. That is a great veteran move to adjust and now to do it right. And he said he wishes he came up earlier. So that's that thing. His dissatisfaction with the route tree, his dissatisfaction with the offense, I think...
is warranted.
Oh, is warranted and is more meaningful to me because it impacts the rest of the season. He and Caleb are going to fix the stuff. And he's showing he can sublimate his ego to do so. If Shane Waldron doesn't fix the stuff, we got problems. And really, Lawrence, the way that he's getting used for those short routes as the rack machine, as you're talking about, it was still being done while Keenan Allen wasn't here.
Right.
The design was for Keenan to be in the middle and be running the option routes and then DJ to be on the outside. When Keenan was out for three games, they were still asking DJ to do this crap on the outside. Why wasn't he sent inside to do the stuff that Keenan could do as you adjust instead of asking DeAndre Carter to do it? They didn't ask Tyler Scott. Why didn't they use DJ Moore for other things that might have helped out?
I thought Biggsy was really great talking about this today, and he did a mailbag, and he was discussing this particular question. He was saying, you know, part of the issue here, and he's 100% right, is that for some of those longer routes to mature, you have to be able to protect the quarterback, and that's been a struggle. And I for the most part agree with Biggsy on that, but your point I think is really interesting to delve into, and we need like a Matt Bowen or Tim Jenkins to talk us through it, because I think that what ends up happening in the situation where Keenan's not on the field
yeah.
is, oh, well, Keenan's not on the field. The attention's on that guy
yeah.
because that guy can beat us. Whatever DeAndre Carter's going to do, let him do it. We're not going to let DJ Moore stop us.
And Caleb is, of course, looking to DJ, but then everybody's looking at DJ, and he's a young quarterback who doesn't know how to look people off just yet as he's trying to figure everything out. And, oh, by the way, the pass rush is coming down upon him, so the whole thing looks bad. And Shane Waldron, I think, could have done more to curb that effect over the first 3 weeks.
These are all things that we need to continue to look at as the Bears' offense continues to evolve, which is good. There was something that we brought up on the show yesterday that the reaction from you caused us to go, wait, we should bring that back up. A texter yesterday made a point that we didn't say on the air, but we should talk about and discuss it. And it has to do with Tom Brady and the Bears. That's next. Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
That's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think? Should I take a poll?
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We are going to turn the page on the previous Bears game coming up at 3 o'clock, and we'll take a look at what's going on inside of the NFC North. Patrick Manley will join us at 4 o'clock. Mark Grody will have a Bears report at 5. There's also going to be some Cubs conversation in today's show.
So what I'm loving about this show is it comes together as all our thoughts and our sensibilities coalesce, the four of us. Themes will arise on a Monday or Tuesday, and we'll carry them through. Yesterday, while doing Cubs conversation, you're like, I don't want to produce on the air, but I think we should open this up to the callers. Well, let's do it tomorrow. So we've carved out time for that. Yesterday, we get to the Tom Brady Bears thing, and we get to the end of that, and the text lines are popping. My synapses are popping. I'm like, there's more meat on this bone. Because Tom Brady, who unveiled to Kevin Burkhardt the confirmation of the fact that he was almost a Bear in 2020, that the stealth free agent team was the Bears instead of Tampa and Bruce Arians. It could have been here. The Bears and Matt Nagy with Tom Brady. Feel like before we turn the page at the top of the hour, let's live in that just a little bit more, knowing full well that Tom Brady was damn close. Because a texter said, as we went to break, you know the Bears would have broken Tom Brady. And I'm like, wait a minute. This franchise that breaks quarterbacks, you're telling us we would have broken the GOAT? I don't think that's possible.
So I was thinking about it because I was like, well, yeah, like most of the time, if you see what happens to players and in quarterbacks that are Bears, that ends up happening. And then I was like, you know what? He's such a force. I know multiple people that are part of the Buccaneers organization. And
look at the name dropping continues from our guy. It's incredible.
Well, I didn't drop a name.
That's true.
I could have dropped four of them. But but I will say that when Tom Brady walks in, the temperature changes. And things are different.
Uh-huh.
And the level of expect, like, Tanny, can we load up the Burkhart thing with Tom Brady again if you have it? Because the reason why is that I want people to listen to not just what he says, but how he says it. And it'll give you a picture of how serious this guy takes football.
So I brought these. I saw him at the house and I said, you know, I'm bringing these to show KB. And there was a lot of reasons to choose Tampa. And I made about 18 criteria why. And there was things all the way from a salary, obviously, to the weather, to the facilities, to the how great the players were. And ultimately, Chicago was a team, and I've never told that story before. They were very stealth in their recruitment. I was seriously considering them. But in the end, it came down to Tampa, and it was close to my son, Jack. I love Bruce Arians and the role that he played in offense, and ultimately the great players like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin that I'm still out there watching today.
And so Burkhart was like, you know, go on, like keep talking about all of this. And you hear like with the Baker Mayfield stuff.
Yeah.
Where Baker Mayfield's like, yeah, I came to Tampa and everything was made fun.
And Brady got pissy at that.
Tom Brady got real mad.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you know what's fun? Winning is fun.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's the difference. I think the difference is that when you're talking about someone being broken by an organization, I think the other thing happens. I think Brady breaks the Bears
in the best
possible way.
100%. Brady breaks the cycle. And here's the thing. We can think about that 2020 season and who was here for a minute. And we know it's a Matt Nagy offense. And it's Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. It's David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen. It's Jimmy Graham, old-ass Jimmy Graham, along with rookie Cole Kmet. So is Brady going to be forced by Matt Nagy to run his Pat Mahomes dreamscape Andy Reid crap that he tried to shove down everybody's throat that only maybe Pat Mahomes can run and Matt Nagy's version of it? No, because you know who was going to save the day? The guy who stepped up in the middle of that year and called offensive plays? Bill Lazor, because that is just the kind of random, pedestrian offensive mind that Tom Brady can mold into exactly what he needs to do.
I was thinking about that game. Remember, the Bucs came here that year, and the Bears' defense dominated Tom Brady. That was the fourth quarter. Yeah, and do you remember in that game, you know, Nick Foles was brought in to be that guy for Nagy? Like, this guy knows Nagy's system,
yes.
And they're gonna be operating as one out there on the field. Remember, they got into it, I think, on the sideline a little bit during that game.
That's when Foles said, we can't block it!
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's the game.
He was telling all the honesty about the concept stuff that the Bears wanted to do but couldn't do.
You're asking me to hang back there for 9 seconds. We can't block it.
Now, you would think that a Super Bowl MVP who beat Tom Brady might have some sway, but obviously his resume is not the same as Tom's. And what Tom, the thing that people in Tampa will tell you is what Tom did started from the moment
he
walked in.
Oh, yes.
So there's not going to be any surprises midway through. He was changing the way that organization went about doing things. I mean, remember, they were cheating. They weren't supposed to be practicing,
uh-huh.
And he pulled everyone together. Like, yeah. Oh, we went out to a park and we practiced, because that's how he rolls.
He got Gronk to come there and sign. Antonio Brown came and lived in his house. I mean,
which may have been a problem for a lot of things.
Oh, really?
Well, that's the
unseemly rumor.
Yeah, that's the unseemly.
I hadn't realized that one.
Oh yeah, you can look it up. I love that one. People are always trying to, you know.
I gotta say, I love the angle that Shane and Tanny came up with. That it's because that his son Jack, who lives in Tampa, is a result of his tryst with the actress.
I don't want to call it a tryst. That was a full fledged relationship.
Okay, my bad.
Right? They were together. They were together for years.
Yeah, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah, shout out to Bridget Moynihan.
Okay.
So, iRobot.
What I'm saying is, if she had Chicago roots, you know, then Jack would have been living here. Like if Jack's living in Lincoln Park, or you know, Jack's living in the South Loop, or Pilsen, depending on whatever Jack's into, wherever he wants to be.
That would be great.
And then Brady said, you know,
I just saw Tom Brady on 18th Street.
He's at Honky Tonk BBQ.
Yeah. What's he doing over there?
I need, oh, yeah.
Did you just say BBQ?
Is that Mike Bibby's restaurant?
BBQ. And
didn't sound like that, brother.
Really?
He meant,
we're calling it like we hear it.
He meant BB North.
It's a new era.
Barbecue place.
It's a new era. We don't have to take shots at each other. We don't have to do that anymore. It's a whole new era.
Yeah, we do.
No, we do.
It's part of this business.
Still this time slot. Okay. We still have to loosen it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think BBQ is in Sacramento, is across from Lance Briggs' barbecue place.
Yeah.
The Double Nickel. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Everybody wears sweatbands. Just a bunch of little whites running around.
Well, I mean, with Bibby now, you better watch what you say.
Yeah?
Is he connected?
Have you seen Mike Bibby lately?
Is he swole?
No, we haven't hung out in a while.
So swole.
He's so swole.
Yeah.
He went the Kyle Farnsworth route?
Yes. So you
should, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you should watch what you say.
Mr. Bibby, I am very sorry for anything I might have said to offend you in the past.
I love your cue. I really love your Bibby cue. I really do. Anyway, we need to go back in time and find an actress of Bridget Moynihan's stature with Chicago roots and make Brady have that relationship. So his son, who he moves near, lives here, is what I was trying to do. It's tough to accomplish all of that between 2 and 6.
Got name drop?
Yes, please.
How about my classmate, Judy Greer? There you go.
I didn't know she was your classmate.
Yep. Me, her, Peter Patton.
That is a very, very funny person.
Yes, it is.
Is she your classmate? Like on this show, we call Pat Sajak my classmate from Columbia. Did you guys actually go to school together?
No, Judy and I took, I think, Religion 101 and 102 together.
Oh, she's hysterical.
She's very, very funny.
Amen.
Great voice on Archer, among anything.
100%.
She's really good on Archer.
They write about her in the Alumni magazine all the time.
Do they write about you?
No. No.
Every time I get the Emerson College Alumni magazine, I'm like, am I in this one?
No, that's not true. They're very kind to me in the Alumni magazine, but it's also weird because I'm faculty. So it's like, you know, it's like that guy over there is with Spiegel now. You know,
right.
It's a little bit strange.
Yeah. Tell you what, I'll write to the Homewood Flossmore.
They
take care of you.
They take care of me real good.
I got you.
They take care of me. DePaul, though.
It's DePaul.
You know.
All right,
I'll write to Emerson. I'll be like, look,
there you go.
Forget about Bill Burr for just a minute. Do you know what Matt Spiegel is out here doing?
Uh-huh.
He's doing the Lord's work.
Some nerd here with the laptop to give us an answer.
Yeah, we'll talk about him later in the 4 o'clock hour. Still working.
Yeah?
The nerd with the laptop.
We will do all of that. So when we come back, though, are you ready to turn the page?
It's time. We've covered the Brady. There was more meat on that bone. I feel like now we've done it.
Yes, you can get it at the BBQ restaurant if you want.
It's pronounced BBQ.
It is. So we will do that. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this NFC North. There's a lot of interesting stories that don't have to do with the Bears, but kind of do. We'll explain next. Spiegel and Holmes with you on The Score.